Today we have a couple of readings from Scripture, starting with Psalm 100. Hear the word of the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 96:8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Leviticus 2, verses 1 through 3. When anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be of the finest flour. They are to put olive oil on it, put incense on it, and take it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priest shall take a handful of the flour and oil, together with all the incense, and burn this as a memorial, a portion on the altar, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offerings belong to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the food offerings presented to the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
I believe everyone here knows that we have a special day coming up this next week. Thanksgiving. And if you look at the scripture, Psalm 100 seems to make sense. Give thanks, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord. And the other scripture with talking about giving thanks and offerings to him. And then we come to Leviticus. I was like, okay. Where does Leviticus fit in with a Thanksgiving offering? Where does Leviticus... Actually, I just gave it away. Why does Leviticus have to do with Thanksgiving? Most of us, when we get into the book of Leviticus, let's just be honest. It's a lot of offerings. And for most of us, we read it and we're like, okay, God, I know this has to have a purpose, but I don't get it. I don't see how this is connecting to me. The thing is, in the first three chapters of Leviticus, we're introduced to three free will offerings. These offerings were not required. These weren't introduced to say you should ask for forgiveness or to seek favor from God. Or as a guilt offering, saying, I know I feel guilty and I need to try to, something's wrong in my life. I don't know what it is. I want to offer something to God to sort of ease that conscience. These were presented as a gift to God. The offerings were, of course, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the fellowship offering. Each one corresponds to something in our Christian life. And when we see that, it sort of shines something, a light in our lives. And there will maybe another time I'll talk about each one of those, but not today. Today I want to look at the grain offering, or what is also described as the Thanksgiving offering. The one thing I want to point out is that this offering, again, was not mandatory. Technically, you could be a Jew, you could be a Jewish follower, and you would not have to give a Thanksgiving offering. You never had to give this grain offering. God didn't say you had to do it. Sin requires an offering. We've all messed up. So if you were a Jew in the Old Testament, you knew you were going to have to give an offering for sin. Because we've all messed up. And God said if you're going to be part of the Jewish faith, you had to give a sin offering. But when it comes to Thanksgiving, God said, this is a free will offering. You don't have to. But here's the thing, that there's a difference between doing what you just have to do and doing what you should do. You know, what do I have to do? I have to make sure that to supply for my family. I need to make sure we have food. I need to at least occasionally go home and talk to my wife. How many think I probably should do more than that if I want to be happily married? Yeah. Probably should do a little bit more than that. Maybe do something nice occasionally, like buy our flowers.
Amen.
Do I need to call your husband and say, hey, you need to bring flowers home? Okay. Make sure I get the number later. They say, she said amen really loud, buddy. I don't know what you did. Actually, this is the one thing I made a deal a long time ago, and I think some of you knew this. I never bring flowers home if I've done something dumb. My thing is, I didn't want her to see the flowers and think, oh no, what did he do? I just wanted her to see the flowers and think, he thought of me, and think good thoughts. I figured that was safer. But the Thanksgiving offering, the word used in the Hebrew, for those of you who realize it, the Bible was written in three languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. The Old Testament was mostly done in Hebrew. And the word used for the Thanksgiving offering was minha. And it's written up there if you're interested in knowing that word. Don't worry, there's not going to be a quiz later. So if you don't remember, it's going to be okay. But this word is most often used, 54 times in the Old Testament, is used about the Thanksgiving offering, this grain offering that was to be given to God. But also was used for another time. It was used when speaking of a king being giving tribute from another kingdom. They beat them in a war, and now all of a sudden that kingdom they beat now is paying tribute. And sometimes Israel beat their enemies, and they paid tribute. And sometimes Israel got beat, and they had to pay tribute. When you paid this tribute, in a way you were saying, we thank you that you've allowed us to be able to use this land that is actually yours. And part of this, in offering this, you were also saying, and I hope we can continue this relationship. It was a time of submitting to someone else, saying, this doesn't belong to me. It's actually yours. When you think about it, though, God created everything that is. Ultimately, it's all His. So it seems only right that we would offer Him thanksgiving. They offer Him saying, we thank you for the ways you've blessed us, and we hope that you continue to bless us and work in our lives. We look at this and realize how amazing it is that God doesn't demand it. By every right, He could. He could say, I owe it all, I'm owing it all, it's all mine, you should come and give me thanks regularly. But He doesn't. Because God doesn't want us to be conquered people. He wants us to be part of His family. And that relationship is different. I don't have to thank my mom when she does something nice to me. Now, I know, sometimes when I was younger that she said, you need to tell grandma thank you. I do? Yes. And you will do it. I'm sure none of you have ever done that as parents. Go say thank you. But do it. But as we get older, we realize there's an important part to that. We need to recognize those who've done something for us. We need to recognize that there's a time to give thanks. The interesting thing about this offering is that, besides that God doesn't demand it, that there is no minimum or there's no maximum to giving. When you get some offerings, they said you brought a whole bull or a whole turtle dove, or you brought all of this. But in this offering, you could bring a little bit, or you could bring a lot. So in other words, if you're flat broke, you could bring something. If you had a lot, you could bring more if you wanted to. It opened the door so that everyone could participate in this offering. There's no maximum, there's no minimum. Everyone can participate. Everyone can give thanks. And this offering was a testimony to what God has done, to what God has given us. And why is that important? Why is it important that we give thanks? Because honestly, thankful people usually aren't that self-focused. People who are more thankful seem to be less proud. Because if you realize someone else has helped you, it's not like you can go around and say, I'm really good. I brought myself up here and I did all this stuff and I... You've all met people like that, right? And they're always full of gratitude, right? No. See, when we recognize others, and especially when we recognize God as being there to help us, our hearts stay humble. We're not in danger or as in much danger of becoming proud or becoming self-focused, because we realize it isn't just me. I haven't done all this. God has helped me. Or in life, when we recognize that people have helped us, that others have been there, it reminds us that who we are. And so we don't become proud. And when people aren't proud, they can come before God, because God resists the proud. He honors the humble. And therefore, when we are thankful and we aren't full of pride, we can come into God's presence. And we see that in Psalms chapter 96 when it says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering. The word there is minha, this thanksgiving offering. And come into His courts. Psalm 104 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. It means we're coming into God's presence, we need to be humble. And by being humble, by being full of gratitude, we can come into His presence and we need not fear. We don't need to be afraid. We can be thankful and full of praise and we can come into God's presence. We can give thanks, and when we do that, we get so much more in return. First of all, we can feel and experience God's presence. Also, it can keep us humble. And there's something about humility. People like working with people who are humble. You don't like working with people who are proud. So your life is better when you have a life filled with thanksgiving. Life's better for you. But again, God doesn't demand it. He says, I'm giving you a choice. But there are consequences if you're not thankful. As we look through the book of Revelation, you'll see over and over again the faithful and the host of heaven giving thanks and praise to God. Yet in the Revelation, those who refuse, those who are proud, are ultimately destroyed. Three points about thanks. One, you can give thanks incorrectly. You say, well, how's that? I'll give you an example from the Bible. How many of you remember this incident called the golden calf? Not familiar with that? God had brought Israel out of Egypt. They were come before the mountain of God. God heard spoke forth the Ten Commandments, and the people heard God speak, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath." And he went through all the Ten Commandments, and the people of Israel heard it, and they are like, they were terrified. They said, Israel will stay back here. Moses, you go up and talk to God. We'll be okay. Yeah, they weren't okay. He was up there for 40 days, and in that time they thought, he's been gone a long time. We need to see something. Aaron, build a calf. Build an idol for us. Duh, didn't you just hear the voice of God saying, don't do this? But they did it anyway. And when they built the calves, Aaron said, this is God. This is the God that brought you out of Israel, or out of Egypt, sorry. This is the God that saved you. Give thanks and honor this God. See, they gave thanks, but to the wrong thing. You say, well, we don't build golden calves, don't we? Are there people in life that we look at and say, they're the ones that are saving us? Political leaders, bosses, well, maybe not, groups, or church, or even maybe a church leader. They're the ones. It's the pastor. Don't put me on that place, please. Don't put me up on that idol. That's why I wear the robe. It shows that I'm not the guy in charge. I'm representing something else. But we can do that. So we can give thanks, but give thanks to the wrong person. How many have ever thanked somebody for a gift and they weren't the one to give it to you? Yeah. See some nods. Yeah, I've done that too. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. But it also cheats the person who actually did give the gift. And it cheats you. So we need to make sure to give thanks correctly. We need to remember that what James says in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes down from God. So ultimately, at the end of the day, if it's good, it came from God. God may have used a person, but God gave it. Also, when we give thanks, specifically by giving money or giving things, it keeps those things from being master in your life. When you're willing to give, if something happens, when you're willing to let go, it's kind of like that idea of what thankful people aren't proud. People who are willing to give and give thanks by giving, it keeps those things from becoming gods in their lives and becoming masters in their lives. And finally, as I mentioned before, giving thanks prepares you to come into God's presence. And when you come into God's presence, He will bring you wholeness and joy. In Luke chapter 17, we read about the story of the 10 lepers. All were healed, but only one, as the scripture says, was made whole. He got more than just a physical healing. He got a wholeness. And that's the one who came back and gave thanks. The others, yeah, they received a healing in their body. But that last one, he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. Technically, he was one that shouldn't have known what to do. But he was the one that got it right. he came back and he gave thanks. And the scripture says that he was made whole. Let me tell you something. There's something about being made whole is more than just your body working right. And God gave that to this one. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, it says, "You make known the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Some translations put it this way: in your presence, there is fullness of joy. When we give thanks, we can experience the wholeness of God. We can experience joy. Because all of a sudden we're recognizing the one who's done so much for us. As we prepare this week, Thanksgiving time, let's make sure and give our minha, our thanks to God. Because he deserves it. And the amazing thing about it is, when we give thanks, we receive so much more in return because we feel and experience the presence of God. 2 weeks ago, I went long and I said, "I'll make it up for you. I won't preach as long the next time." Guess what? I'm done. So you can say, "Thanks be to God." I mean, let us give thanks. If we could have our song leaders come up and our music people come up, let's give thanks to God. Leave this place today. Father, let them take Jesus with them as they go forth from this place, and may your presence bring them joy. In thy name we pray. Amen. God bless and go with God.